Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him. He was by the sea. And then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And while he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. Excuse me. And when he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And then he put them all aside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know of this. He told them to give her something to eat. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Don. I had a parishioner one time ask me what I thought was the best thing about being a pastor, and I said there were two things. Number one, during the Christmas Eve candlelight service, I got the biggest candle. And then number two, when it came time to reading the scripture, I got the Bible with the big print. We're going to refer to those two lessons in that one section of Scripture that we heard just a moment ago from Don, and I do want to thank you, Don, for your reading of that today. First, I want to read three very brief definitions. First one is belief, and this comes from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and here's what it says, that it's a noun. A state or habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in a person or thing. Something believed, especially a tenet or body of tenets held by a group. Conviction of the truth of some statement or the reality of some being or phenomenon, especially when based on examination or evidence. That is belief. Faith. Again. Another noun. Allegiance to duty or a person. Fidelity to one's promises. Sincerity of attention. Belief and trust and loyalty to God. Belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete trust. Something that is believed especially with strong conviction, especially a system of religious beliefs, the Protestant faith. And then healing. A healing when used as a noun, healing when used as an adjective, to restore to health or soundness, cure, to set right, repair, to restore a person to spiritual wholeness. Those are the three definitions that we can find embedded in today's lesson: belief, faith, and healing. And of course, we know that the story of Jairus and of the woman who touched his garment was a healing story. I'm going to revert back to my seminary days, to around the third year of classes, and that's when I met Reginald Scales. Now, Reg was an elder black male who was from an inner city, central LA church. Not the east side or the south central side, but just central LA. And of course, that's where a lot of the trouble from Watts began. But Reg would always, when he preached, say to the individuals, "All right, take up your books." And of course, we know he was talking about the Holy Bible. "Open up to a certain page and follow along." And he would then go ahead and start talking to each and every one of the individuals in the congregation about what it was he wanted to emphasize in that particular instance. So if you have your books with you today, go ahead and open them up. The pages are there, but the nice thing about it, we have it printed in the bulletin. So dig out your bulletins and follow along, because there's some words that are going to be there for you to look at and understand. And we'll go from there. Before I get really into the depth and meat of the subject, there's a few signs that I've seen recently that I think are pretty neat, and I wanted to share what they said with you this morning. And they're the nice signs that are printed on slate. They've got a blue, light blue background, the color of sky, and there's some clouds on them. And one imprinted on them in black paint are some very unique words. And one of them says, "That love thy neighbor thing I really meant. It's signed God." The one that says, "We need to talk," signed God. "My son's middle initial is not H," signed God. And there's several more. "That love one another thing," that could be in there too. The one that's really, really unique, it says, "I have not finished with you yet," signed God. Every once in a while, I'll meet someone, I'll say, "Well, how are you doing today?" "Well, I don't know. I'm feeling kind of down in the dumps." I said, "Well, it's time to get out of the dumps. It's time to get up and with it." And they said, "Well, why?" I says, "Well, God doesn't make junk, and he's not finished with you yet." God never gets through with us until he calls us home. It's not that he's got a leash around us and a collar on our necks, but it's that love thing again, like the sign says. Let's go back to Mark. We know Jesus had crossed over on the lake. And just before this particular story plays out is the time where Jesus was on the other side of the lake and was involved with a demon-possessed man. And he called the demon out of the man, and the demon left the man and went into the swine. I like my bacon just as much as anybody does, so I'm very careful about the swine issue. Jesus has crossed the lake in the boat, and when he got to the other side, here again, a large crowd gathered round him. Now, this is a little bit later on in his ministry, and people would hear that the master had come. And all of a sudden, from everywhere, come people. And they were no exception this time. They came to him seeking a glance, maybe a handshake, maybe just to have a touch with one of the individuals, just to say, I know you and I love you. All of a sudden, here comes Jairus. Jairus, it says, is the leader of the synagogue. Well, we know the rabbi is the head leader. Jairus was the leader of a group of individuals here at Gila Mountain called the Board of Trustees. Very important individual within the body of Christ. Am I correct on that? Now, do we have an amen corner this morning? Amen. Oh, there we go. I knew we'd get one. But Jairus came to Jesus and said, my daughter is ill. In fact, she is so bad off that she might die. Well, this prompted action from our Savior. And he said to her, to him, don't worry. Things are covered. Do not be afraid, but, first word, believe. Have faith. Believe in me. Easy for Jairus to do with his position in the body, in the temple. And he did. And as they were going toward Jairus' home, all of a sudden this crowd, still around, pressing in even closer and closer and closer. Now, I know people alive today, this very moment, and probably some in this congregation, where if you get too close, now I can't imagine in this congregation, but if you get too close, give me my space, step back. Well, they kept pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. And that poor woman with 12 years of illness, the hemorrhages for 12 years. She tried everything she could. No corner drugstore was able to do what needed to be done. No acetaminophen, no Tylenol, no Alka-Seltzer, no Vicks VapoRub. Nothing would do it. 12 years. She said, yeah, to herself, if I just touch hem of his garment, I know that I can be made well. That's not a big thing. Not a big thing at all. We check our hems of our garments all the time to see that things are right, that they're not frayed, that they look presentable to not only us, to our families, and then to the community when we go out into the community. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. So she does. She comes right up there and she grabs a hold of the hem of that garment right at the base of it as it's right at the floor. And immediately she felt within her that power that is Jesus, the Christ, leave and go into her body and cure her of her illness. Immediately, the hemorrhage is stopped, and it's like the sun shines on her on a daily basis. I have to tell you a funny story. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and there's a place in Lincoln known as Memorial Stadium, and it's now known also, the field down in Memorial Stadium is known as Tom Osborne Field. Now, Tom Osborne was the most winning coach at the University of Nebraska. His immediate predecessor was a gentleman by the name of Bob Devaney. And when I was about the size of Spanky McFarlane on the Little Rascals, I was that way till I was a teenager, I would go watch the University of Nebraska Cornhuskers play football on a Saturday in the autumn in Lincoln. And if we had cloudy day before the game, as soon as Bob Devaney stepped on the field, the sun shone The clouds dissipated, and Nebraska clobbered everybody they played. Those days are coming back. Mark my words, the Big Red will write again. Jesus felt that power escaping from his body. Now, he asked a very simple question. Now, I got to come up this way because I haven't been up this way yet. And that question was, who touched me? Today, people look like, well, woo, get back. But he, simple question, who touched me? And no one would say a thing. And his disciples said to him, with all of this crowd pressing around you, as big as it is, and you have the guts to say to someone, who touched me? But it was a simple thing. And that power left. And he knew it. Who touched me? Finally, after much fear and trepidation in this young lady's life, she came to him. She fell down at his knees, at his feet, and confessed the whole thing. He said, come on, hon, get up. It's okay. Because you have faith, you're healed. Go live in peace. Word number two. And number three, right there in one sentence, faith and being healed. I want to bring in another section, and I'll get back to Jairus in a minute, but I've got to do this because it plays right in with what we're talking about today. From John, the 11th chapter, Jesus says to his disciples, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him. Now, the him they are talking about is a fellow named Lazarus. And of course, Thomas had his doubts even then. As they got to Lazarus, or to Mary and Martha, Martha and Jesus were discussing things. She said, I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her at that time, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me even will live, even if they die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And she said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. To Mary, his sister, he said this, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Now, let's go back to Mark and back to Jairus. As Jairus finished with the woman with the 12 hemorrhages, Jesus, someone came to Jairus and said, look, don't trouble the master anymore. For you see, your daughter has died. What shocking news to get on the road. Especially when you knew you were after someone who was going to be able to do something about it. We get an amen out of that. All right. I'm going to get you guys ready for Neil. Uh-oh. Oh, another one. Well, that's a little voice. How old are we? A month. Oh, cool. I get to minister to a month old. Woo! Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Well, they got to the house. And all kinds of commotion was going on at the house. This is around verse 37. Jesus allowed no one to go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came into the house, the leader of the synagogue, he saw the commotion, people weeping, people in just dire straits, wailing loudly, and he said to them, "Why are you doing this? What good is it going to do? Because the child is not dead, she's only asleep." And all of a sudden, here's this laughter in the background. Well, who does this guy think he really is? Does he think we're stupid? No. Our Lord never called anyone stupid. So then he took that select group in with the child. And he took that child's hand and he said to her, "Talitha, come." Now, I don't know if Jesus was a tenor or a baritone or a bass, but just his voice would be enough. She woke up, she sat up, healing. Another instance of healing. And he said to those that were around, "Say nothing of this, but give this kid something to eat. She's hungry." Now, I'm the grandfather of 11, and I thank God for that. So I keep a lot of things at my house because 7 of the 11 grandkids live in Yuma, and they're at my house a lot. And we have this basket that's full of special treats for the grandkids. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. He knows right where it's at.
Right next to the garage door.
It's inside the house. Don't you love it? Three words today. Yes, now we all, y'all know where it's at now. Three words: belief, faith, and healing. Have you noticed in this one particular section of Scripture how they're all intertwined together? And that intertwining together means one thing. For us, it's assurance, that blessed assurance. It lets us know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive and well on June 28, 2009. And for that, we can say amen.